Well, today, God's going to teach us from the letter of 2 Timothy. So I invite you to turn there to chapter 4. As Lord willing, we seek to conclude a series we started many months ago now, called Finishing Well. We are looking at this letter, which is the last letter that we have of the Apostle Paul, the one that he wrote just prior to his death. He is writing this in a hole in the ground, a Roman dungeon. And he is soon awaiting going to be with his Savior. Now, as we look at this passage today, there's going to be one thing that's going to rise to the top, and that is this idea of death. Death. Whenever I say that word, it is not a pleasant, pleasant thoughts don't come to our mind immediately, do they? But when we consider death, as the Apostle Paul is sharing with us today, we will have a perspective that God wants to do mighty things in our lives so that we are prepared for death. You know, in this letter that he is writing just before he dies, it is fascinating to see the things that are important, the things that he is sharing with Timothy. He is refreshed by the faith of this young man, as you see in Chapter 1. He challenges him in his ministry to endure hardness and to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He gives him instruction on how to be a faithful minister. He gives him warnings that perilous times are going to come. Persecution is going to be a part of your life if you continue to seek to please God. The deceivers will increase. But he gives him the firm assurance that the Scriptures, God's holy word, stand firm. They stand firm that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then as we looked at last week, we saw the actions of a faithful pastor as the Apostle Paul lays out for Timothy important truths that need to be a part of his life as he ministers to his flock there in Ephesus. And now we pick up the account in verse 6 of chapter 4, where Paul writes, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Christians to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. When the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. Do thy diligence that come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Words from a dying man. Words from a man who was awaiting his execution. You know, as we consider these final words of the Apostle Paul, I believe God wants us to fast forward in our hearts and minds to a day that we may face, a day where we may come to the end of our life. And you know, death is something that we cannot escape apart from the grace of God and His coming before we die. And that being the rapture, and we saw that in 1 Thessalonians. But if the Lord tarries, we all are headed in that same direction towards the end of our life here on this earth. I'm sure that each one of us, at some point or another, our lives have been touched by death. And with this in mind, I believe the Apostle Paul is giving us a glimpse into his spirit and how he is handling his upcoming execution. We begin by seeing a readiness in the present. We see a confidence in death that comes from an obedient life. A confidence in death that comes from having lived an obedient life. Look at verse 6 with me. Paul writes this and he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Well, what Paul is really saying here is he is now being poured out as a drink offering. Part of the sacrificial system of the Jewish people and of other cultures as well would be they would pour out a drink offering before the final sacrifice would be done. And what Paul is saying as he is drawing this picture is that the final preparations are being made for my death. He also says there that the time of my departure is at hand. We see in these words an extreme confidence that exudes out of the apostle. For let's face it, he was in a Roman dungeon under Emperor Nero, a time of great fear for any Christian. But what we see is a readiness, a confidence, that as he faces death, he knows that his life was lived for the glory of God. I want you to see and understand this word, the time of my departure is at hand. This term, departure, speaks of loosening the moorings or loosening up the ropes of a ship in harbor. And as it departs from the harbor, it heads out into the open seas. This here we see as applied to death. One commentator put it this way, is that this verb, depart, should be applied to the act of unloosing or casting off the fastenings of a ship, preparatory to a departure. The proper idea in the use of the word would be that he had been bound to the present world like a ship to its moorings, and that death would be a release and he would now spread his sails on the broad ocean of eternity. The true idea of death is that of loosening the bands that confine us to this present world, of setting us free, and permitting the soul to go forth as with expanded sails on its eternal voyage. With such a view of death, why should a Christian fear to die? This word that Paul uses here, the time of my departure is at hand, is that exact picture. Is the exact picture of a ship that is being loosed from the dock and set off on a voyage. You know, in a very real sense, dear ones, we are fastened here, tied here to this world. And it is only death that separates us from this world and sends us off into eternity to be with Christ. And we see here the Apostle Paul having a confidence in this time, a great confidence. I want you to think about a time when you have been around someone that was facing death. Think about the time that you were with them and this person, they knew the Lord and they were confident in their salvation. And you take their confidence that they have as they face death, and you compare that to one who is dying that knows not the Lord. And there is a drastic difference. A drastic difference. One is ruled by fear, and the other by the hope of eternal life. You know, one of the reasons I believe the Apostle Paul gives us insight into his heart in this way is because he knows that Christians all around the world are facing death every single day. He has just finished sharing with Timothy that persecutions will be a part of every believer's life if they are seeking to please God. And the Apostle Paul and God wants us to understand that we can face death with a confidence that goes way beyond human understanding. We can face death with a readiness for the present. But not only do we need a readiness for the present, but we also see Paul rehearsing the past. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, as we look at these words, we think about the incredible power that is behind these terms. Paul is using these terms in a athletic sense. These terms, fought, and fight, and finished my course, all have the idea with being in a contest or running a race. And the Apostle Paul is able to look back at his life, and he is able with confidence to say, I have fought a good fight. I have given it my all. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You see here in these three different statements, the first one being, I have fought a good fight, referring to the way he lived. The Apostle Paul, looking back at his life, sees a life that was lived with great striving for the glory of God. These words, fighting and fight, is speaking of muscle straining, almost like in a boxing match where you see the muscles of the contestants are straining to maintain control and to maintain power and strength in the midst of the struggle. You think of a wrestling match, and the wrestlers are grappling for position. And we see here the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, is able to say, I have fought a good fight. It's the way he has lived. And then he says, I have finished my course. So not only does he have confidence in the way he has lived, but he has confidence in that he has completed what God had laid out for him. What a way. What a way to enter into eternity with a confidence of knowing, I have done what God has called me to do. I have finished my course. You know, this is a very real picture of a racetrack. And in a racetrack, there is what? There is a beginning, a starting line, and a finish line. And the Apostle Paul was sent on this course by God. And let's remember something. Was the Apostle Paul a perfect man? Absolutely not. Remember, his life began as being one of the most severe persecutors of the church. But on that road to Damascus, his life was dramatically changed. The Lord Jesus Christ shone that light upon his life, and he was saved. And from that day forward, he was set upon a course, a race that he was to run. You know, did the Apostle Paul know that the finish line was going to be in a dungeon in Rome? No, he didn't know that. But he knew the way he needed to live, and he knew he needed to race until God made it clear he had reached the end. What a thought. What a thought, dear ones. Because I believe here, as we look at this passage, this is a passage that we need to grapple with so that we are prepared. For we do not know when God will call us home. We don't. And you may say, Pastor, why are you bringing this thought to our minds? This is morbid. Christian, that's the exact point. It should not be. It should be the release to eternal life with God forever. But Paul here says, I face death because I've lived in obedience. I have lived a faithful life. I have finished my course. You know, as I thought of this idea of finishing my course, I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Apostle Paul had his view on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of his faith. For let's remember something. The Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross, he cried out, what? It is finished! And we see the Lord Jesus completing the course and finishing. And thus, this very same word that the Lord Jesus cried upon the cross, we see here in this text, as the Apostle Paul says, I have finished my course. And so we see that he lived a faithful life and that he completed what God had for him to do, and he has kept the faith. He has remained true to the truth of God. Paul's speaking here of the message of the gospel, which has changed his life and has become the centerpiece of his ministry. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ changed his life on the road to Damascus, and he clung to that gospel, And he clung to Jesus Christ all the way up until the end. All the way up into eternity. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And we look at these terms and we can say, Paul, you finished well. You finished well. What are the qualities of finishing well? The qualities of finishing well is having fought a good fight. Having completed the course, the race that God has for you. And keeping the faith. Guarding it. Keeping it close to you. So the Apostle Paul was ready. And he had rehearsed his life and he knew God was pleased. But then we also see that he looks forward to the reward in the future. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, dear ones, as we consider this, it is very clear in the scriptures that God is a God of rewards. And so often in our life, we suppress this idea that we're not to be striving to do things, to get things. We are to be giving, and yes, we are to be, but God has also established crowns and rewards for those that are faithful. And dear ones, it's okay for you to strive for the heavenly reward. God's very clearly laid it out for us that there is going to come a day when we as believers stand before God, before Jesus Christ as our judge. And on that day, we will be judged for the way we lived our lives. We will be judged. And it's not a matter of whether we are saved and going to heaven or not. But it is a matter of how faithful we were. That day is called the judgment seat of Christ. It's the day when Jesus is judge, is our judge, and he sits there on the throne. This is why, throughout the scriptures, God challenges us to faithfulness. To live faithfully, to live pleasing unto Him. There are rewards. And the wonderful thing is, dear ones, is that these rewards, these crowns that are given to those that are faithful are not for our own glory, because the scriptures tell us then also that we take those crowns and we lay them at Jesus' feet. For remember this, it is only because of Jesus that we are there in the first place. Only because of Jesus. And so here the Apostle Paul, as he sits in a Roman dungeon, and he is awaiting his death, he has a confidence. He has a confidence knowing that his departure is near. He's ready. He has rehearsed his life, and he knows that he's lived faithfully, he's completed the course, he's kept the faith. And now he looks forward to the future where he knows that there is laid up for him a crown of righteousness. And again, this crown, this is a Stephanos crown. This is the victor's crown. This is the crown, the wreath that would be given to the one that would win the marathon. And this would be placed on his head and he would be known as the victor. And this crown is crown of righteousness. And it shall be given unto him at that day. And notice what Paul says. And not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing. Well, what does that mean? Well, let me ask you this. Who loves his appearing? Well, what's his appearing? It's when Jesus Christ comes again. Who's looking forward to that day? It is those who are living righteously. It's those who are ready. And I want to tell you something, dear ones. If there is sin in your heart and life, even as I say that, if something pops in your mind and you have a guilt, dear ones, listen. You're not ready. Loving His appearing. Those that love Christ's appearing, those that are looking for His appearing, are those that are living righteously for Him. Now, I am talking very specifically about believers here. Because believers, we can choose to live faithfully and keep a shorn account of sin. But there are times, sometimes, when we allow sin to grab a hold of our lives. And dear ones, listen, do not allow yourself to walk down that road. But be somebody that's ready for His appearing. That loves His appearing. Notice the emotional term here that Paul uses. This is an agape love. A loving of His appearing. Are you ready for Jesus to come today? Are you ready? Allow that thought to be a motivation of purity in your life. A motivation of righteousness. Knowing that God Himself could come at any moment. At any moment. Well, we see here that Paul then ends this letter by giving closing comments concerning several people that have been involved in his life. I'm going to go quickly through these and make comments as I go. But verse 9, we see Paul urging Timothy to come quickly. This is most likely motivated by his soon death. Verse 10, we see, "For Demas hath forsaken this present, has forsaken me, having loved this present world." And what we see here is the sad reality that when people are faced with persecution and struggles, because Demas was a faithful companion of the Apostle Paul, but it seems as if, as when persecutions became challenging in Rome, Demas gave up. Things were too hard. And so he said, "I'm out of here." And he loved the present world. And so Paul here gives the appearance that he is alone except for Luke. And Luke is known as a physician. Luke was a companion on his missionary journeys. And we see Luke to be a faithful companion here in Rome. We see the Apostle Paul asking Timothy to come, bring Mark. Bring Mark with you. Because he's profitable to me for the ministry. Verse 11. We see Paul urging Timothy to bring a cloak. Very simply, this cloak would be something that will be worn to keep him warm because winter was fast approaching. He was also to bring books and parchments, and we don't know exactly what they were, but they quite possibly could have been copies of the Old Testament writings or copies of his letters. Or writing material for him to write further letters. We see him issuing a warning about Alexander the coppersmith and how Alexander has withstood him and caused problems. And in verse 16, we see that Paul speaks of the first time that he gave a testimony in trial in court that nobody stood with him except for the Lord in verse 17. The Lord stood with him. And strengthened him. In verse 18, we see the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And he closes then with some greetings from those that are with him. Dear ones, What do we take from this? What is it that God is seeking to teach us? We see here that Paul's rehearsing his life, but he's rejoicing in his death. We've learned that death is a loosening from the shores of this world and an anchoring safely in the harbor of heaven. In his death, Paul looks forward to life eternal where he knows the Lord Jesus will meet him with reward. And this reward being the crown of righteousness, and it's given to those who live righteously because they are in a constant state of readiness for the Lord's soon return. And that righteous life translates into a love for the coming of Christ. The Apostle Paul is finishing well. He's finishing his course. And as I have studied this, my mind has been drawn to the day, and who knows what it will be like. But there may come a day when I am laying on my deathbed, and when there is nothing else I can do but go into eternity. And I lie there, and God is communicating these truths to me today. So when that day comes, I may lie there in peace and knowing that I'm ready to face my Savior and knowing that I have finished well. And dear ones, you can face that day too with courage, because God has given us the instructions. Fight the fight of life. Strive to please God with all of your being. Run that race with your eyes on Jesus Christ. And as Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, get rid of the sin and the things that are hampering you, so that you may run like an Olympic sprinter with nothing hampering you as you run towards Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because it was for the joy that was set before him he endured the cross, and he despised the shame. My mind goes back to those that died. I think of Enoch. And what was his testimony in Hebrews chapter 11? Listen to what Hebrews chapter 11 says about Enoch. It says in verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." You know, Enoch, he was just taken. He never died, but he left a legacy that he pleased God. I'm reminded of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And as he was being stoned, he looked up to heaven and he said, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Words that Jesus Christ himself spoke upon the cross as he was dying. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, what's different about their death? It's that they died with a courage and a confidence and a hope in their future that was established in Jesus Christ. You know, we've been talking about finishing well. We've been talking about running a race and completing it. Dear ones, there will come a time when death knocks on our door. And as Hebrews chapter 9 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." So Christ, So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Dear ones, death is final. Death seals the deal. So now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Here's the challenge. Today you're here, and death is a scary thing. Yet you would hate to think about death. And I'm not saying that we purposely think about death here at Roll Grove, because it is a difficult time for any family or any loved ones. But listen, because of the truth of eternity and the hope that is offered to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, death is something that we can look at with courage and confidence. But maybe you're here today and you're saying, that's crazy. That's impossible. I can't look at death with courage and confidence. Well, then today might be the day that you need to be serious about Jesus Christ and who he is, and about what he has done upon the cross. And understanding that his death upon the cross paid the penalty for your sin. And that he didn't stay in the grave, but that he rose again, showing victory over sin and over death. And so therefore, trusting and believing in Jesus Christ, you are then embracing God and his power, and believing that he has power even as you might face death. Because you know that death is not the end, it's the beginning of eternal life. It's life forever and ever and ever with Jesus Christ in heaven. Well, maybe you're here today and yes, you know the Lord Jesus. You know the Lord Jesus, but you're not loving his appearing. His soon coming is something that you'd rather not have happen today. Well, dear ones, you're not in control of that. Neither am I. No one knows the day nor the hour when Jesus will come. So we need to be in a constant state of readiness. I trust that you would join me in wanting to leave a godly legacy. You see, the Apostle Paul here is speaking of, this is the way I view my situation, the way I view my life, and the way I view my future. And a legacy has been left of great godliness. But it's interesting that in just a couple verses later, we see Demas. And what's the legacy of this man? He's loved this present world. He loved this present world. What's the legacy you're going to leave, dear ones? The life that you live now will help determine the legacy that you leave in the future. I am reminded of a statement that Jim Elliot made. Jim Elliot, a missionary to the Aka Indians in Ecuador. He is known for saying this phrase, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And little did Jim Elliot know that in just a few months or years later, he would give his life. As the Aka Indians came and killed him on that beach, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Dear church, I encourage you to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6:12. May you be a person and a people who can say that none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? So that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul to the Ephesian elders, Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. May you be someone that joins with the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:23, where he says, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." And then later in the letter, he says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Believer, talking about death, we're talking about finishing well. And may you have the perspective that death is the finish of your course. And then it takes you from the shores of this world to the shores of heaven and of life eternal. Lord, I tremble as I consider these thoughts, as I consider the truths that have been presented to us today. Oh God, may we be a people who we can look at our life and we can say, "I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I have kept the faith." Lord, we want to be people that finish well. And I pray, God, that you would help us today to make decisions now. Make decisions now that would enable us to live an obedient life and to be able to look back and say, "By God's grace, I have finished my course." Oh, thank you, God, for these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.